Jason, much of what was shown yesterday in episodes 3 and 4, you weren't there when the Pistons were riding high and they had those titanic battles. But what did you take away from episodes 3 and 4 that maybe you weren't aware of or maybe we weren't aware of?
Well, I've been watching basketball for many moons now. I knew how physical Detroit was, and I've been with Chicago ever since Michael got there. Before that, I was a big Lakers fan, and I still do like the Lakers. But I knew what Michael went through in developing Scottie and Horace to get on that level with him to dethrone the Detroit Pistons, and the physicality of the game, as you see from footage last night, was ridiculous. On any given play, a player could have lost his career.
Did the Bulls have an enforcer?
Oak was the enforcer when they were playing against Detroit, but unfortunately they had to trade him to get past Detroit. And then I don't really think they had an enforcer after that until we got Dennis during my days.
Jason Caffey, our guest here on WNSP, talking The Last Dance. You know what's amazing to me about the Jordan rules? Because Brendan Malone, the assistant for Detroit, came up and listed the Jordan rules. And growing up and watching that team, Jason, it was always put Jordan into the floor was basically the only Jordan rule I knew. But when he listed the three rules, there's nothing all that exciting about them. It's the same rules you'd use against any great player. You force him left. You force him to the elbow and not the baseline, and the trap comes from the top, not, you know, if he's down in the low post. Like, none of that stuff struck me as unique or even odd.
Yeah, it wasn't brilliant. The only thing that was brilliant about it was that they would sit on one side and force Michael to go that way, and if the other defender saw you forcing him right, they would be sitting right there in the middle of the lane to take his neck off when he came and tried to go airborne. Or if he went left, the same thing. So, yeah, you're right about that. The only thing that was brilliant about it was the physicality when Mike came in the lane and tried to elevate.
Jason Caffey joining us. Jason, if you could, if you want to, you're the most interesting story off the floor with Dennis Rodman.
I might not be able to tell that when we yeah, we've had some times together. I was still hanging with Dennis, actually, when he was playing for the Lakers. His sister Deborah and I were good friends. And I remember when Carmen Electra left, I think Dennis, and this is not too personal, everybody knows it, left Dennis to go with Dave Navarro. And Dennis told the Lakers that he was going to get Carmen back. And when he came back, he was going to lead them to a championship. I was kind of with him at that time because I was in Golden State. He was right down the street at L.A. I was like, no, dude, no, that's not a good idea. And sure enough, the Lakers, they cut him after he did that. So that's just one interesting story I got to see him.
In your days with the Bulls, was there who was the best defender on Michael Jordan? Was there anybody out there that had a little bit of success that actually playing him straight up?
Well, fortunately for us, the person who could defend Michael Jordan the best in the NBA was on our team, and that was Dennis. He was a great on-ball defender, and he had showed that in previous years. No one else came close to guarding Jordan. He was just too quick, too strong, too athletic.
Did the Bulls as a team ever get frustrated with Dennis's antics on the floor?
Yeah, at times. In the beginning they did. And I'll tell you what changed all that. What changed all that is something I think I told you last week. We were playing Miami in the playoffs, and Scotty head fake Alonzo Mourning, and Alonzo went for the fake, and he came down and he dropped his elbow in Scotty's head, and this huge hematoma rose up. It looked like Scotty had two heads out there on the floor. So the next play, Dennis went up under Alonzo Mourning and slammed him and got suspended for the next game and whatnot. And at that time, I saw Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen respect that man and say to themselves, well, he's just a fighter. Whatever team he's on, he's going to fight for us. So at that time, they kind of lagged off being upset with Dennis ever, and they just kind of let him do what he needed to do to make us win.
Jason, a lot was made of the whole point when Detroit walked off the court prior to losing to the Bulls and the Bulls getting over that hump. You know, we've seen it in many documentaries and a lot of 30 for 30s. It was a main part of the Bad Boys. What really struck me about that whole storyline was Michael Jordan and Horace Grant today reacting to it. I thought Horace Grant might have had the soundbite of the series. I can't even say what he said. He just said they were straight up B-words. And then Michael Jordan just said, there's no way you can convince me that Isaiah wasn't a A-hole. I thought those were just money lines, and I thought made the whole series last night. I thought that was just fantastic to hear what they had to say. And to this day, the Pistons just don't believe they did anything wrong in that scenario.
Well, I look at it from two different angles. You know, one, when Boston used to beat Detroit.
Yeah.
When Detroit finally dethroned Boston, I think Boston kind of did it.
Right.
That same way, they just walked off the floor. And then I look at it from the point of Michael losing to Detroit all those years after he took all those beatings, he still had the courage to shake those men's hand and walk off the floor proudly. And then when he finally dethroned them, I think it was a slap in his face for them to just walk off the court. If you look at him standing there, I've never seen Michael with such a humble look on his face as I did when the Pistons were walking off the floor after he defeated them, and they didn't shake his hand.
Jason, in your days traveling with the Bulls, obviously Detroit, they were down. They weren't the same Pistons. Was there a team, though, that Jordan just couldn't stand, hated to lose to? I know he hated to lose to anybody, but, I mean, was there a team that replaced the Pistons in his mindset?
There was not. The whole team, the whole league was our enemy, and that's how we approached every game. No one team stuck out. I don't remember him on the bus or in the locker room ever, you know, commentating about any team and he wants to beat them so bad. We just kind of took that attitude towards every team that we played.
So what do we look forward to? We got six more episodes to go. Anything in particular in 5 and 6 down the road?
I'm just sitting back watching the excitement just like you guys are. As I said, I was young when all of this stuff was going on. I had no idea that Michael had granted access to the cameras like this and that there would be something like this. I mean, it's great for us years later to reminisce and show our kids and our grandkids this is what we were, this is where we came from, these are the people that I was with. But, yeah, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show. I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, I think we asked you this last week with episodes 1 and 2. I'll ask you about 3 and 4. Is there anything that you learned or there was something that surprised you that you saw maybe for the first time last night?
No, not last night. As I said, Dennis and I were really cool, so I kind of hung around him a lot. So I knew what he had going on, and I would be there with him partying a lot of the time. So none of that was new to me. What else? And Phil, you know, I learned a little bit about Phil.
Yeah.
Where he came from. I knew he was a champion coming out of New York, but, you know, the humble beginnings and all that.
And
that,
you didn't,
was great,
you,
that was great to see.
And you didn't want to play in Puerto Rico after watching that segment, did you?
No, I did not.
Was it all represented well? Have you seen anything in episodes 1 through 4 that you say maybe was maybe misrepresented or something? You said, man, it didn't really happen like that.
Nah, the documentary has been pretty accurate, you know, to my knowledge thus far.
Yeah.
Jason Caffey, the former Crimson Tider, a couple championship rings. I know we went over this last week because I looked at you as possibly being the replacement for the Oakleys and for the Horace Grants, being the power forward, right, to help him rebounding and so forth. What
right.
happened between you and Krause?
It was a personal topic that I don't care to bring up, but we had an altercation right after the All-Star game, and he never would even sit me down like a man to discuss it. His deal was, let me just trade Jason, and that's what he did without informing me or anything. I just got a call one day, and Golden State said, you play for us now, so if you would, please jump on the plane and get here. And I was kind of sick of his bullshit anyway, to be frank with you. I had already won 2 championships. He had cut my minutes back because he was trying to motivate Dennis to want to play more. And then Tony, who was his boy, he wanted him to have more minutes. So I was kind of ready to take the challenge and move on to another team. Even if it was a bad team, I kind of felt like I took enough from Michael and Scotty and Dennis and Phil to go out and try to be successful on my own.
Well, we're not done talking to you about this. We'll get back to you next Monday. But before you go, a couple of things you and I need to talk about. Your future. Did I hear that you may be planning on a political career? Is that true?
Yeah, I've definitely got that on my bucket list, and that's coming up pretty soon for me. Not my demise, hopefully, but in 2022, I would like to run for state senator in Mobile.
Wow. Good luck on that. Of course, we'll be here for you if you want to talk about that. Now, let me ask you about the pandemic. It's another thing that it's a hot topic around here. You get varying views. Some say we're out of the woods. Some say we're not. Where do you see this? Because you're involved in this, I think, to some degree, because you work with nursing homes.
Group homes, actually. I own group homes for mentally ill men. So I'm in the field every day. I'm actually up now, getting ready to go to work. But my take on it, Lee, is this, you know, doing a little research on it, Mobile leads the state in confirmed carnivorous cases and deaths, but it lags in testing. So I think we need to beef up the testing sites here. The pandemic is serious, and gambling with lives to save the economy is definitely a tough call. Whenever our state or city does reopen, I just hope people will observe the wisdom of social distancing and continue to wear, you know, protective gear. That's my advice on the topic.
Well, I appreciate that, and you're right, because I don't see us out of the woods either, but I don't spend as much time going into the details as you have, but I certainly understand where you're coming from. Look, we're going to let you go. We'll check in with you next Monday after 5 and 6.
Sounds good, guys.
Good luck to you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay,
now.
Mark.
Yep.
Take care.